A controversial bill introduced in California.
Senator Richard Pan is proposing adding the COVID vaccine to the state's list of required vaccinations for attending K through 12 schools.
And it would only allow exceptions for medical reasons and no longer for personal beliefs.
The governor already mandated vaccines for school kids once there's FDA approval. So why introduce this bill is the big question. Well, because the only way to get rid of the personal belief exemption is if the state passes a law to add the COVID vaccine to the list of 10 other state mandated vaccines.
We saw a California state senator vow to introduce legislation that would close a personal belief exemption in a coming requirement that every California student be vaccinated against the coronavirus to be able to experience in-person learning. And so this is going to launch a huge front in the ongoing national debate over vaccine mandates.
I can no longer stay silent on this issue of mandated vaccines for children.
I'm Annie Reese. This is Politico Dispatch. California is about to be front and center in the national vaccine wars. And today, Jeremy B. White.
Jeremy B. White, California politics reporter and co-author of The California Playbook.
Is here to help me break down the national implications of a newly proposed vaccine policy in California.
There's a lot of institutional support for this. You have multiple state lawmakers who are pushing for it. The California Medical Association, a pretty formidable political player, is also for it. We have seen some Republicans coming out against it. I suspect, given how sort of politically polarized the debate over pandemic measures has become, that we'll see pretty unified conservative opposition. I should note that previous iterations of this, when California enacted school vaccine mandates for illnesses other than coronavirus, there right. wasn't a whole lot of sort of organized institutional opposition. It was more individuals and Republican lawmakers. So I suspect we will see a similar version of those dynamics this time.
Right now, our governor and the legislator need to hear our voice. Will we be silent?
These fights before to require school kids to get vaccinated for things like measles and mumps were extraordinarily contentious, and it sort of created an alliance of sort of part of the right wing that was very distrustful of big government, and also sort of far left folks who were distrustful of the pharmaceutical industry. And so that sort of anti-government, anti-corporate alliance was really the coalition fighting against this in previous iterations. That was before the coronavirus, and as we've seen, a person's beliefs on mask or vaccine mandates tend to track pretty closely who they're voting for president, what party they're registered with.
Right.
And so given how we have really seen this sort of national divide over approaches to coronavirus, I suspect that this fight is going to take on some of those national dimensions and probably get more intense as a result. You know, California Democrats, including Gavin Newsom, have clearly concluded that not only are tough coronavirus rules good for public health, they're pretty good politics in a strongly Democratic state. And so I think there is probably more will to do this here than in a state like, say, Texas or Florida. That doesn't Right. mean that there will not be a huge political backlash. I expect it to get very contentious.
Can we go through some of the possible outcomes here as you see them?
Well, the bill could either be defeated, it could pass and be sent to the governor who signs it, or it could pass and be sent to the governor who vetoes it. That last option, I think, is kind of unlikely. I think if this bill gets to the governor's desk, I suspect lawmakers would work with the governor to ensure that he is on board with it, as opposed to sending him something that he might not sign.
And so could this actually pass?
I think it is more likely than not that this legislation passes, just given the level of desire and support in the legislature, the fact that it is a simple majority vote and Democrats have huge majorities. You can have a bunch of Democrats who decide they don't want to support this and it still passes. So I think as part of that, we will likely see negotiations over what exactly the language looks like. But I think you would probably give it better than even odds of becoming law at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, previous vaccine mandates passed, although it was certainly a very vitriolic struggle. So I think this has a pretty good chance of passage. The somewhat wild card is what Governor Gavin Newsom does. He has really touted California's stringent coronavirus rules. But when asked about this particular idea, he hasn't really committed to anything in particular on those personal belief exemptions. So the governor did issue the order that will require school kids to get vaccinated for coronavirus upon FDA approval of the vaccine for that age group. But he has been pretty silent so far about this follow-up debate over these personal belief exemptions. So I think the governor, his position is something people are watching for very closely.
And so with Governor Newsom holding his cards closer to the vest on his position here, is that simply because it's such a political hot potato that he doesn't want to wade in until he feels like he has to?
You know, in terms of, say, re-election, I don't think that's something that Gavin Newsom really has to worry about that much. And I don't think this would be the thing that did him in. Same for sort of vulnerable Democratic lawmakers. But in terms of just the day-to-day lives of elected officials, in my years of covering the state legislature, I don't think any issue has caused as ferocious of opposition as vaccine mandate stuff. Part of that is not just folks, calling up lawmakers' offices and expressing their opposition. It can turn violent in terms of both the rhetoric and some physical assaults on lawmakers. The end of the last legislative session in which they did a vaccine mandate bill, somebody threw human blood on the Senate floor. And so it has gotten pretty intense in the past. And again, I see no reason why it wouldn't be as intense, if not more so, this time around.
What do you think is most fascinating about watching this or watching these dynamics play out? Do you think it says something about where we are as a country or that people should be looking to California to see what happens here?
I would say that, the last two versions of this battle, I kind of saw as a small but very vocal fringe that was opposed to vaccinations.
Yeah.
Since then, as we've seen just how pervasive opposition or skepticism to vaccines has become, again, especially sort of a proxy for political beliefs fitting into a larger national picture, I think I'm reassessing my previous conclusion, which is that this was sort of a minority fringe view. I'm not going to say it's a majority of people, but obviously there is a large and receptive audience for sort of skepticism about government mandated vaccination. And so I think we are going to see just how much that has become the case. I would say I don't know that California is the best test case for the country because it is so deeply democratic, which means folks tend to support stronger government interventions, whether it's something like this or mandates having to do with affordable energy, what have you. But I do think the landscape has shifted significantly since the last time California did this. And so I think certainly we are going to see a lot of national attention on what California does here.
Are there any particularly spicy or emotional things that you've gotten from your reporting, talking to either normal folks or people in the legislature, anything that any certain people who have really stuck out to you?
I would say that, again, sort of having covered this issue in past iterations when it's been a big policy debate in Sacramento, one of my main takeaways has been that there's no force like a parent who believes their child is at risk. That could be a parent who thinks that their child is at risk from diseases because of lack of vaccinations. That could be a parent who believes their child is at risk from an untested vaccine. And so not to draw a false equivalency between sort of the factual basis for those beliefs, but in terms of how motivated people are in this issue, I just think when people think the welfare of their kids is at stake, there's nothing quite like that.
It's such a visceral, emotional thing, and we've seen that it can be extremely motivating for voters.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeremy B. White, thank you so much for talking with me.
Anytime.
Also today, French President Emmanuel Macron said that he will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin by phone on Friday, vowing to, quote, never give up dialogue with Russia. Macron spoke on Thursday in Berlin alongside German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who joined him in calling for continued talks with Moscow as fears grow that Russia is plotting an invasion of Ukraine. And Democratic Representative Jim Cooper, a 32-year veteran of Congress, said that he will retire at the end of this year. The announcement comes after Republicans in the Tennessee General Assembly revealed redistricting plans that broke his Nashville-based seat into three pieces. He is the 29th House Democrat to leave the chamber to retire or seek higher office during this term. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Be sure to follow Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Annie Reese. Thank you so much for listening.